Blog Talk Radio.
On the one and only Renegade Broadcasting. Coming to you live on this 20th of September, 2013. This is the 19th edition of Ragnarok Now. I entitled it Stylus Fantasticus, Rejuvenation Amidst Media Mind Minutia. We'll be getting to exactly what that means, but before I get to that and the history of this today's date, I just want to supply you with a friendly reminder that our race knows no bounds, our creativity knows no limits, our vengeance will know no limits as well. This is Ragnarok Now. I will be coming back to you live in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned. Yes, and that was Dietrich Buxtehude with Herr, wenn ich nur dich habe. It's a Christian piece, of course, from the 17th, 18th centuries. Old cantata. He wrote a lot of cantatas. And that is just a taste of what the music holds for this broadcast today. Exclusively Baroque. Another Buxtehude piece to go over later. Just want to help get the Oiropids back into the Baroque swing of things, because back in that day, we had our priorities in somewhat of an order. We had our people in somewhat of an order. We had our nation states burgeoning, our people. Our influence was global. So that will happen again. And hopefully the music will help that along. For we don't hear enough of that in today's world. We have to go to the universities to hear it. And it's all a bunch of Asian people playing the music. Or the Baroque Orchestra of Jerusalem. Or something strange. So today's show, again, will be a response to some broadcasts I have heard over the week, some of my ideas for a new nation, as well as my observations of the media mind minutia that has and still is engulfing the minds of millions in our race. These things, I think, are important, as mundane and annoyingly useless as they are, these TV shows specifically, which I will be going over today, the educational system, as disgusting and offensive as they are. It's important to at least attempt to deconstruct them and see what exactly their goals are and their accomplishments have been. Very important because, again, it affects millions of lives, these TV shows, these educational systems. Now, let's go over the Renegade lineup. As usual, we have Kyle on Mondays, the Blitzkrieg broadcast. Tuesdays is a wild card slot. Anything can happen on Tuesdays. On Wednesday, we have Imperium Europa with the host, Dana Antiochus. Thursdays is Reconstructions Live with Mike Sledge. Friday is me. Saturday, the hosts get together on the round table at 11 p.m. And on Sundays is a wild card day as well. And we had a recent poll looking to see what people thought of the idea of me simply reading Aryan writings. I had a few ideas for authors and pieces. Some of my choices for authors would include Francis Parker Yaki, Adolf Hitler, Friedrich Nietzsche, Goethe, Blake, all sorts of people. Those first three are my first choices. If you have any input, please respond to this show in the comments on renegadebroadcasting.com with your ideas. You can email me anytime. Go to ragnaroknow.com, the top right is a contact tab. My email is there. You can reach me in various ways. I will get back to you as quickly as possible. I apologize to those who I have not. And more on Renegade, we have here on Red Rock Now, we should be getting Mr. Craig Cobb on the program, so stay tuned for news about that. I will let you people know about that. Probably be going on at around 3 p.m. on next Friday with Craig Cobb, so please stay tuned. Again, that will be an exciting show. He's been making the rounds. and has yet to make a stop at Renegade, but that will all change next Friday, hopefully. Now, on to the history of today's show, today's date, September the 20th, off of metapedia.org. The events are very important, as many of the days I report to you on. On September the 20th, 451 AD, the Battle of Chalons in northeastern France. Flavius Aetius has a victory over Attila the Hun in a day of combat, considered to be the largest battle in the ancient world. In 1187, Saladin begins the Siege of Jerusalem, Saladin being the Kurdish warlord of the Muslims there. People like to just lump him in as an Arab. No, 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 dear ladies and gentlemen, he was a Kurd. Just further exemplifying the diversity of the Levant, the Middle East, the Muslim world, even back so far as 1187. 1519, Ferdinand Magellan set sail from Sanlúcar de Barrameda with about 270 men on his expedition to circumnavigate the globe. In 1633, Galileo Galilei is tried before the Inquisition for teaching that the Earth orbits the Sun. And that's strange, because on today's show I was going to respond to Mr. Rodney Martin's interview with Craig Cobb, in which he brought up Galileo as a criminal. He was a heretic, seen by many in that time period, that 17th century. In 1881, Chester A. Arthur is inaugurated as the 21st President of the United States following the assassination of James Garfield. 1970, Syrian tanks roll into Jordan in response to continued fighting between Jordan and the Fedayeen. Whatever. 1977, the Socialist Republic of Vietnam is admitted into the United Nations. 1979, a coup d'etat in Central African Empire overthrows Emperor Bokassa I. Really, a coup in Africa. In 1984, of all years, a suicide bomber in a car attacks the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, Lebanon, killing 22 people. 2001, President George W. Bush declares war on terror. And that's funny that that happened that day. I just had an article, my first foray into the Renegade Tribune, renegadetribune.com. Please visit that site. Now we have Mike Sledge on there. We have Dana Antiochus there. Lots of other people there. Kyle, of course, has a couple of articles at least. Sinead has two at least, as well as many listeners and contributors besides them have offered their insights and efforts to the site. So please, if you have something to say, you have something to write up, please enter it into the Renegade Tribune. We love your input, so please do so. And the births of today's date, 1878, Upton Sinclair born, American author and socialist politician. 1899, Leo Strauss, German-born philosopher, who's a Jew. And Sophia Loren in 1934. The deaths, Jim Croce, American singer and songwriter. And 2005, Simon Wiesenthal is dead, who was an Austrian-Polish Jew. And I believe he's one of these demagogues. Oh, I'm sorry. He's one of these tough Jews, you know, a Nazi hunter, he's described as, in the army, the U.S., the righteous U.S. Army, the honorable U.S. Army. Simon Wiesenthal Center is there in Israel, wherever it is. Where is that? Oh, no, it's in L.A. Oh, wow. I'm sorry, everybody. The Simon Wiesenthal Center is found in L.A. What a great Aryan city Los Angeles truly is. We'll be going over how great Los Angeles is, how great Hollywood is. And what the sort of programming is coming out of there, we'll start the show off with that. But before we get to that, let's go to some more music. I had a bunch here planned for you today. Let's see what I have. Aha! None other than Mr. Baroque himself, Mr. German Music himself, the late, great Johann Sebastian Bach with a very famous piece. This is the Little Fugue. Oh, and before I get to that, the last piece, again, Buxtehude. He set the stage for Bach, and when you realize this, when you realize the influences that other nations, other individuals had on other individuals in other nations, back even so far as that time period, the 18th century, we really get a grasp on Aryan culture and Aryan heritage. Bach himself was introduced to Vivaldi's music, and that changed his writing, as well as his religion influenced it, but this little fugue that he created for the organ is truly amazing. Short little piece. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned. This is Ragnarok Now on Renegade Broadcasting. Thank you, Johan. Thank you. That was Mr. Tom Koopman playing Dutchman, playing the organ. Very skilled. Very beautiful piece. Thank you again for joining me. You may call in at any moment on today's broadcast. That number to call in is 347-633-9657. 347-633-9657. And you may use the Skype line as well. Just click the Skype button on the show's streaming page on Blog Talk Radio. And I will connect you and we will begin a discussion. You can offer any insight, any experience, any opinions, and we'll have a nice discussion here. I always, always value your calls and insight. Although I never have anyone call in and disagree with me. I have yet to have anybody. I had one troll one time. And the rest of the people have been nothing but nice and supportive. And that I am thankful for. But, you know, again, no one's to disagree with me. So I have nothing to prove myself with. Wow. So, if you dare, please call in. Okay, now, as to the latter part of today's title, Media Mind Minutia, there's a lot of that going around. We will jump into this right now. This is the age where we have millions of people watching one show, and that show comes out at certain times and contains within it certain themes and references that are relevant to our people, our race, our culture, our heritage. And one of the most important and most well-crafted shows, that is, television series, that has existed in the recent time period, that is the Bush War on Terror corporate Orwellian Israeli world that we have today, that we've had for the past 10 years at least, has been satiated and pushed along by this show, that is HBO's The Sopranos. Now, The Sopranos is a very strange, a very multifaceted, multi-layered television show. Now, on that show, now, to be relevant to this, our worldview, what's relevant most of all is one of the characters, that is one Hesh Rabkin. What's his name? Rabkin. Rabbi Kin. Kin of Rabbi. This Jewish character who is very wealthy, has all these non-white, non-Jewish girlfriends, a typical affluent and carnal Jew, which is very typical of a Northeast American Jew, is in with the mafia, not just with the main character's family, the DeMeo crime family, the New Jersey crime family, but very good friends with the New York crime family. In the show, it's called the Lupertazzi crime family. So who is bridging the gap between the Italian mob families in this show, The Sopranos? A Jewish character, right? Nothing suspect about that. That is barely, if that all, explored within the show, and that's what they wanted. Now, at the same time on the show, and I was watching it as way after the fact, I didn't watch it when it was airing, as many Americans did. Every Sunday, oh, I got to watch The Sopranos. Ooh. Oh, I wake up on Monday morning to go to my Jew job. Oh, what's on the news? Here's the recap of last night's Sopranos show. I don't know if you people remember that, but I think that's very important. On the news, the 6 a.m., the 7 a.m., 8 a.m. news, they had recaps of not just Sopranos, but Lost, things like that. These Jewish shows, these television shows, they want you trapped thinking about these shows and identifying perhaps with these characters, who in The Sopranos were sociopaths and drug addicts and murderers. All Italian, many of them played by Italian, real Italians. And in the second season, I will get very in-depth with the show on another broadcast, but just when I researched the show, one of the characters was called Richie Aprile. Richie Aprile was played by a Brooklyn Jew named David Provol, and he was one of the coldest, most violent, greedy of all of them. He was supposed to be an Italian, Aprile. Right? Okay. But, you know, that's barely anything. The real thing about that show was all the very real experiences and whims and everything that may be shared by Northeast Italians, at least. And I'm not talking about the crime family things. I'm talking about the everyday family issues that were themes and topics of that show. So that's what made it relevant. That's what made it possible to satiate the viewer. If the viewer was watching a show that was simply and only, primarily, as it was, but if it was only wallowing within the exploits of a crime family, then regular Northeast Italians or Northeast white people would be unable to identify it so they had a lot of these family issues within the show, and the two children that Tony Soprano, the main character of the show, had. His son, named after himself, Anthony Jr., was a spoiled brat, lacking in knowledge. And at the same time, when I was discovering and studying leftist authors like Howard Zinn and philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche, what was Anthony Jr. occupying his time with on the show? Nietzsche and Howard Zinn. You know, there's one episode called Christopher, where they're talking about Christopher Columbus, introducing themes like the leftist theme of feeling sorry for the Native Americans that Christopher Columbus genocided, and that was on the show prominently. They knew exactly what they were doing with HBO was doing with The Sopranos. Very, very slick programming that I can see. I can deconstruct for you people, at least at an elementary level. We'll get to the other TV show I had in mind, which is more relevant to today's world, to this decade. Before I get to that, we have a caller from the 508 area code. Caller, you're on the air live.
Siegfried, it's Kyle. Just calling in to listen, but I just wanted to give some news, some good updates, I guess, just from the past 5 minutes. I'm listening to the show as I walk around this neighborhood in right now. I'm going to be honest, I actually live in Florida right now, but the good sign that I've seen is that there are so many rebel flags flying on people's trucks. What I just saw was our youth, riding around on four-wheelers. A lot of people around here have four-wheelers. The guy was doing a wheelie on his four-wheeler, pretty impressive, but I saw he had a Confederate flag license plate on front and a big flag flying on the back. So I've seen this a lot, actually. All throughout the South, you still see a big resistance. Now, they might not know the same kind of material that we know. I'm actually sure they don't. And they might not even be flying it for the same reasons people like us might fly it. But it sure is a good sign. It does give me hope. And I think a lot of times those of us from the Northeast, we view our situation as so dire because our friends and family, really don't seem to get it because they haven't been confronted with the multicultural nightmare.
Oh, indeed.
Wanted to say I really do appreciate all the great music you play. I love getting some of the classical elements of our racial heritage played in music form like that. It's really something beautiful.
Oh, you're very welcome, and it's my absolute pleasure to download and import these pieces, which are timeless but are squandered, and I have my own ideas for how we can forever banish that possibility from ever gracing, from ever penetrating our culture. It's been rooted out and made unfashionable, just like being smart and cultured and ladylike or gentlemanly has been made uncool, so to say. Oh, wow, I think I hear a bunch of youths in the background there, Kyle.
Yeah, that's the case. It's not as good as you'd want it to be wherever you are, but there are good signs, as I said.
Right, and more on what you just said. You know, Northeast people, these sheltered suburbanite people, like I may be cast. Wow, it's getting loud there, Kyle. Okay, but anyway, this is a phenomenon that is decades long. Even going back as far as the Civil War, we had these affluent middle-class people just agreeing with what their mighty King Abe the First said about the South and had us believe and had us tolerate the genocidal actions of the army. And they didn't care. They didn't bat an eyelash, and they didn't do at all the same. They did the same for when our doughboys were sent over to Europe, and then again when the GIs were sent all over the earth to fight the evil Empire of Japan and the evil Nazi war machine. And this is the Northeast suburbanite middle class people have been kept in the dark, have been made sure that their efforts and their cares are squandered, and their skills completely squandered, and if at all used within the corporate Jew system or the great government that we have, the giant government that we have today that has nothing to do with the white working class, which the Northeast middle class will care nothing about. So this capitalist mindset, this dream, this pipe dream of caring only about yourself and your family, perhaps not caring about the rest of the country, and having contempt for the South and the flyover country, and et cetera. This is age old, and the television shows that I'm talking about are a large part of that, I would argue. Kyle, your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they want to use people like us, I think, to create massive amounts of wealth for them, and thinking that we're doing something great for ourselves, whereas we're just getting bigger cribs, right? You know, the show, of course. It's all an illusion, and the more that people buy into it, the better they're going to be at producing wealth for the people on top. It's really a pretty brilliant strategy that they've developed here, wherein they've got everybody pretty much employed at different levels and oftentimes fighting amongst each other and viewing the different classes, with contempt.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I wanted to continue here. We're losing time. It's all because of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, hey, again, really appreciate the show. I guess it was interesting to get to hear some live youths there.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the live report, Kyle. I'll put you on hold so you can listen to the rest of the program.
Great. Thanks.
All right. That was one and only Kyle Hunt. Okay. Northeast man like myself. I was talking about The Sopranos. Now, the thing about that show, again, is it centers around the Northeast, an ethnicity very, very, very influential in post-19th century Second Republic America, an ethnicity that has been pictured as gangsters for a long time in the Jewish media. And that theme itself was explored on the show with Tony Soprano's psychiatrist, Dr. Jennifer Melfi, and her husband was taking a very Italian stand and thinking, you know, all these Italians who are mobsters give us a bad name and all this, and the way the media portrays us Italians, and that itself was explored in the show. So that is the slickness of that programming, and that's just a little insight that I can offer about that show in particular. At another time, I will have an entire show devoted to that television series because it came out at such an important time in America's history, in a world's history. That is Bush era. 9/11 happened while the show was on the air, and that saying that will allow you to understand the savvy, wonderful, sophisticated audience that we have here at Renegade Broadcasting can understand the importance of that. Because these Jews, this is how they work. This is where their power is, the media. And they exercised it quite brilliantly, indeed. Very well-crafted programming there. Now, again, the other show, the show that millions are watching now, that is on the air now, and is just about to end, in fact, that I would be apt to have a whole program devoted to this television series, being one Breaking Bad on the AMC channel, which I believe was out of Long Island originally. I don't know about now. But what's relevant about this show? Well, the main character, Walter White, and his accomplice, his partner, Jesse Pinkman, okay, two Germanic names, two white men, who embark on a quest to cook and sell methamphetamines to the Albuquerque area in New Mexico. Now, right then and there, we have, and this show became popular right away and was thrown out in the media, lock, stock, and barrel, and completely bought off by these people completely. That is the consumers of this nation, the white consumers of this nation. What's relevant, what's important to note right away is that the shift, the geographical shift went from the Northeast to the West, to the Wild West, the desert lands of New Mexico. So a different cultural flavor right there. It's a gritty show. It's another well-crafted, well-acted, directed, casted television show, and it's a very slick programming. Just how slick is it? Well, I'll be going over why. Now, if you don't want it spoiled, again, just don't listen to these shows because I don't really care about spoiling shows because the cultural mainstays and themes contained within them are too important not to go over. Now, if you can follow this, again, Germanic names with the characters. We have Hank Schrader, Walter White's brother-in-law, who's in the DEA and a federal agent, totally unaware of his brother-in-law's exploits and crimes. So this mild-mannered, middle-class white man becomes a psychopathic, murderous criminal, becomes truly evil, and it just gets better and better as the show continues. Now, the programming has gotten to a point where on the fifth season, which is airing right now and finishing up now, the series is finishing up again. This is the most important part, I think, of the whole show in reference to the white people of America. The new evil antagonist entity on the show is what, everybody? Armed, swastika tattoo wearing, Aryan Brotherhood criminals. meth cookers, you know. They are the ones that the main character, Walter White, sought out to help him in his quest to stay free. He hired them to kill people in the prisons, and they have become partners of his in the meth cooking. So, and on the most recent episode, entitled Ozymandias, which is the Greek title for the Persian king Darius, I believe, or Xerxes, I can't remember, but yeah, they titled the episode Ozymandias, and on this episode, Hank Schrader, the DEA agent, is killed by these Aryan Brotherhood swastika-wearing white people. So, why am I even bringing this up? Now, millions of people have watched this episode, watched it live. Now, the exact numbers escape me. I'm going to look it up right now, and I believe Wikipedia had a number. I believe it to be accurate. Probably is. Here we go. Went right to the page. The Wikipedia page says, upon airing, generally considered to be most best of the series, one of the best episodes. I saw one of the numbers on a website. It was in the multi-millions. Million. Oh, here we go. 6.37 million viewers on its original broadcast. Let me repeat that. 6.37 million viewers saw this episode, saw these white men kill this federal agent. Why is that relevant? Oh, you're supposed to feel bad, probably, for the poor Fed killed by the wicked, evil, super evil Nazi characters. And there's a lot more I could say about this stuff. I feel like I'm wasting my time. If you don't feel like I'm wasting my time, you want to discuss this further, you may call in at 347-633-9657. 347-633-9657. The Skype line, as always, is open. Now, we'll be going over that stuff at a later time. Now I will move on to the nation building, to the cultural state of our struggle, of our movement, the worldwide white nationalist fervor that is alive and well in each and every one of the white nations on the planet right now. Going over some of the broadcasts I have heard in the past week, specifically Mike Sledge's special report he had on Tuesday, I believe, and Rodney Martin's interview with Craig Cobb. Craig Cobb, the man behind Leith, the man behind the future home of Ravillo P. Oliver Garden, the flagship restaurant there. Hey, look at this. Oh, what is this, Italian cuisine? Ravillo P. Oliver Garden. What's that about? That's right, my Mediterranean brother. Only here at Ravello P. Oliver Garden may you have the privilege of having Italian cuisine created by only Italians and enjoyed by Aryans of all sorts here only at Ravello P. Oliver Garden, located in beautiful Leith, North Dakota. And now we will go to Antonio Bertali with his Proteamia Suavissima. This is Ragnarok Now on Renegade Broadcasting. Thank you. Welcome back. And I want to especially thank the hero, the icon, my personal Lord and Savior, Ravillo P. Oliver, for introducing that music. That, again, was Antonio Bertali, Prottima Suavissima. He was from Verona, Northern Italy, went on to become a court musician of Kaiser Ferdinand II of Austria back in the 17th century. And to begin this portion of the show, let me first explain Stylus Fantasticus. That is a musical term to describe the way people would play and write music back in that time period, the early 18th century as well. Bach was one of them, Buxtehude, again, Bertali. And these names show up on the Wikipedia page. I'm well-versed, at least to a degree, with those gentlemen. But there's another one, a Czech composer, which we'll be playing for you shortly. So that's Stylus Fantasticus. We have the white man, if castrated from the beginning through his education, through the educational system, they are resurging in their priorities, getting them back together, and understanding that the race suffers throughout the white world. Each doesn't matter the borders, doesn't matter the state, the province, the region. The problems are the same. The problem makers are the same, from the same tribe. White people have understood this long before I was even born. But now, the middle class, the lower class, able to network and learn from each other, are now waking up in numbers never before even predicted. So this is a beautiful, wonderful time period to be around. And to commemorate that, to help us understand what we are all about here, I wrote a poem today, in fact. It is called Raison d'être. The reason of our existence is our origin. We were born by way of an Oiropid female, and our mission revolves around them alone, all of which we cannot fail. We cannot afford their disappearance, their suffering, their death. The patriotic and brave, yet to fill the ranks of the future imperium, will fight to the last breath to make their sweet spirits swell with satisfaction, to honor the gods and holy ancestors that grant us machination. The source of our being, the source of our cares, revolves not around the Haitian, but around the lives and prosperity of the women of Moscow, Barcelona, Bordeaux, each and every Oiropid nation. Our troubles and enemies remain the same, but will be quelled when the yet-to-be-awoken realize that this is no game. The blood and nobility is our raison d'être. And there you have it. That is our reason of existence, our reason to exist, to go on, to live, to survive. It's not just about mere survival. It's about making damn sure, history will remember us as those that had our people in mind, and not, I need to get home on Sunday to watch Sopranos, oh my God, and not, oh man, the Steelers game is on. Oh! Anyone who has those types of things as their priorities are weak. weak in mind, weak in spirit. I don't want anything to do with them. Nothing.
Yeah, because people like Craig Cobb, he cares so much about professional football teams and baseball teams and.
Now, I wrote something else here, called it Barbarian in Action. Wasting away at a cashier job at a corporate waste mill gives one time to reflect. One with primal priorities, boundless imagination, and grand ambitions, such as myself, knows full well the squandering at play. A barbarian in chains will never be able to express their genetic will. The whole of the system was built up over the decades to ensure that will never be so. The glory at this moment is realizing that the sheer amount of young white men in the very same predicament would feel the same. Their time and energy misused for the gain of the system alone. The barbarian proles reap nothing more than scraps and shekels to help pay the various bills they no doubt must pay some other entity. Whether that be their landlords or the bars they frequent, their Yiddish money is cast back into the stream of apathy and degeneracy. The saddest thing of all is that the programming has now been so effective that the normal barbarian and revolutionary spirit within the young white man has been pushed into the furthest reaches of his mind. The airwaves, as well as perhaps any game software he grants his time to, tills his mind with content designed to quiet his normally savage and powerful innate trait of the white man. That trait being the will to conquer, the unrelinquishable desire to be a hero for himself, his family, his nation, and his race. For us in this worldview, this is all too apparent. But for those whom still to this moment actively or inadvertently quiet this ancestral spirit, remain as pawns, but more importantly, hearts and soldiers yet to be convinced. When the problems afflicting our race become loud and clear to them, they will be our allies. For that to be so, it behooves us to speak loud and clear so that they may know their true and only purpose on this earth is to become heroes. Presenting the facts with genuine vigor and passion will help separate the useless within our race from the worthy. Only when the barbarian faction of our global community is galvanized and given clear objectives will the Oirapid know liberty and glory. I don't have to tell you, dear Renegade Broadcasting listenership, who is the problem. What is the solution? What could possibly be the white man's solution to millions and millions of little problems we have in each and every one of our countries? You know, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Sweden is not going to be the monolithic community it always has been. It's going to multicultural mode. I don't know if you guys knew this. Oh, is that how you're going to take care of me? I wonder if that will ever happen. You know, I'm one who firmly believes that violence doesn't even need to happen. You know what needs to happen? Every single member nation of the United Nations saying, hey, I don't know if you guys knew this, but there's an ethnostate in the Levant right now. It's called the State of Israel, the Jewish State of Israel. And, and get this, there are Jews all over the world, and they work the media, the banks, and the governments of many countries. Mexico, Germany, Sweden, Russia. Wow. And those countries alone have a lot of Jews. And these Jews, they love other Jews so much. So much that their whole religion revolves around them and them alone. And holds that everyone else is cattle. So why would these Jews want to live in cattle countries? Why aren't they should live like royalty, like Jews, with other Jews who they love so much. So that's what I think needs to happen. The safest, most nonviolent way would be that every nation in the world recognize that they need to send their Jews back to Jew land, back to Israel, where they so want to be. It's their birthright, everybody. They got to go on their birthright trip. They're a little pilgrimage to the land of Canaan, to the land of Israel. Wow. That would be something, huh? All the Jews deported from every country back into Israel, that wouldn't cause any problems within the Jewish structure as it is, because if it wouldn't, then it would have already happened, right? They disagree with each other. They argue with each other all the time. They fight amongst each other all the time. In a different way from the ways white people fight with each other or Asian people fight with each other. And there are but two things I fear in this world. Number one being living out my putrid existence without ever having the privilege and pleasure of at least meeting a girl from Denmark. The second fear is having the displeasure of hearing my fellow white men revel in the accomplishments of world Jewry and call for the emulation of these disgusting brigands. Now, Dana Antiochus is one of these people, and this is the one thing I disagree with him on. And every time I hear him say it, it's not live, I'm hearing it, so I'm unable to call in and voice my opposition. Now, I understand where they're coming from, people like him and others who have said, oh, we got to copy the tactics of the Jew. We got to blah, 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 blah. It's not bad enough people like us talk about Jews, the actions of their wicked ethnostate Israel, name their names, discuss their output through the various mediums in their mass media, like on the show in the first hour, and live under their legal and cultural systems. Not bad enough we'd have to do all those things. No, no, no. Now we must suppose that only the Jews are the ones we must look for strategy. There is a name for the Aryan-flavored tactic that would help us yield victory. Becoming a lone wolf within the system is a viable strategy for some. There's a place and a time for such. Now, as much as I admire, respect, and love these mighty patriots who do say these things, I here and now must voice my stark opposition to such calls to action. In the realm of Aryan action, there is not any room for any reference to these wicked enemies when they are now the rulers. Now, if they're the rulers, why would we want to emulate them? Why would we want to emulate the one race that prides itself on torture, on genocide? I'm glad we got rid of those Greeks in Karelia. Oh, you know, I'm glad we got rid of those Ukrainians back in the Thoides. That's those people. Oh, I'm glad we're running all the big sex slave trafficking rings out of our ethnostate. No one gives a crap. Yeah, those are the people we gotta emulate, guys. Gotta emulate them. Kicking them out of the country and voicing our opposition to them spiritually and socially and culturally. No, we shouldn't do that. We should try to be them. Yeah. To emulate them, in my opinion, is to discard the honor the best of our race has exemplified these many centuries. I also see such talk as heretical and deviant. The white man marches proudly in the light, while a tribe that has for centuries at least worked as a simultaneously tribal and multicultural entity to bring down and control all nations of the earth scampers in the shadows. Not marches, not so much as walks, but scampers in the dark. Tribal behavior being the mercilessly bloodthirsty wars and commonly unprovoked contempt for their neighbors. Multicultural in their race mixing and their creation of egalitarian scam systems like Christianity, Islam, and cultural Marxism, to even propose the emulation of the single ethnicity that has rose to dominance within the formerly white countries by way of lies, fueling of socially society-wide degeneracy, and faulty fealty is offensive, to say the least. My race is the gentlemanly race, the chivalrous race, the race of Romanticism, Baroque, pioneering, and technological dominance. These countries are ours and will be won back by honest speech as well as barbaric actions if need be. Strength and honor are two things the Jews will never know. Lying, cheating, thievery, and psychopathic malevolence is not foreign to our race, but in the scope of our values and ethics, such is known as alien, to say the least. Be noble, not a vessel for non-Aryan action. And that's just my two cents in terms of emulating the worst of the earth, in my opinion. Spiritually, the worst. And I know this will be controversial, but many Jews living on Long Island aren't exactly part of this world program to castrate white men and make white women degenerate. Some of these Jews, all they do is date their Jewish girlfriends and smoke weed. That's all they do. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not threatened by them. I'm angry that they benefit from the world Jewish system. They can get any job they want, especially if they're from an affluent Jewish Long Island family. They can do anything they want. Anything. But it is the bankers and the so-called elite that Mike Sledge was talking about on his last program, the program before that, who are to be blamed, held accountable for all their crimes, that the revolutionary leftists despise and want held accountable, as well as the libertarians who are, themselves are satiated by Jewish programming, the Alex Jones types, the, again, libertarian American types, who are deracinated in their worldview. Yet, like the leftists, have the same revolutionary fervor that we do. I will argue with them to no end that our ethnic struggle is the last taboo for them to traverse and understand. Because when they do that, they will understand why we are in this world and who is the real enemy. So if you disagree with my point of view that we should not emulate these people at any degree, if we can help it, please call in. We already have a 423 number. Let's see what they think. 423, you're live.
Hey, Siegfried?
Yes.
Hello, Siegfried?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Jim in Tennessee.
Yes, I recognize you. Welcome, sire.
Thank you. I basically agree with almost everything you're saying, except I think we really need to emulate the Jews. I'm not in the negative sense, but in the positive sense. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, in other words,
no.
We have to. They are after global domination, so must we. I mean, I think there's only one race that can dominate the whole world. I mean, it's going to eventually come to that. We're going to have a one world government, but it's going to be either the Jew or us, and we are, you know, they're destroyers and we're creators. So I mean, yeah, I mean, in a sense, the Jew is showing us the way. We just have to take what the Jew, learn from the Jew and and reverse everything to the Jews. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like they are of the dark and we are of the light. We need a world global civilization that is Aryan,
yes,
based on truth and not based on lies.
Yes, but here's the thing. I agree with you insofar as that when we realize what the Imperium really is, and that is the simultaneous liberty of each and every one of the white nations, the Ukrainians, the Russians, the English, the Scottish, the Welsh, etc., when they don't have that. The Jews don't have that. They have all their little ethnic blanket terms and all the family names and all that stuff, all the cryptos that they have under their yoke, under their control, here in America at least, and in Britain too. There's plenty of crypto Jews in Britain, in Germany, I'm sure. They have that. They have that. We have our multinations that aren't even united within themselves. I mean, we have Greek immigrants here and everywhere, yet to be galvanized and united under saving their ancestral land. And when that happens, which is happening right now, in my opinion, Hungarians everywhere understand what's going on. Greeks know what's going on because they have a party. When that happens, and it will, and it is, our start.
Well,
to dominance yet again. The Imperium. The Imperium is, yes. Go ahead.
No, we got to think of ourselves as a globalized Aryan folk, okay? And that way, you see, that's what they think of themselves. All the Jews of the world are, you know, their brothers. So we have to think of all the Aryans in the world as our brothers, and stop thinking of ourselves as being Americans or Russians or Germans or whatever. We're all Aryans.
Jim, they don't even do that. The Jews don't do that. They'll say that they're part of the tribe. They're part of the tribe, but they don't care if a bunch of blacks in Long Island, Nassau County, Long Island, go around and start murdering Jews on site. They won't care about them. If this was white people, we would care about our people because that's just because we're Aryan. We're human. We're the opposite
of the Jews. Sure, right. So I'm not saying that we copy them, but I'm saying is we take a hit from their strategy and the fact that they think they're God's chosen people. No, hell, we're God's chosen people. We're destined to rule the world, not them. We have to figure that. See, I mean, the way they have survived, you know, of course they've used eugenics, you know, I mean, and that's another story again, but I mean, if we were to really embed that in our consciousness of all the whites, all countries of the world, that we are the chosen people of the gods or whatever you want to call it. This doesn't mean we don't want to destroy other people. I mean, we're honest, we're fair. We're not. If we dominated the world, it wouldn't be like the Jews dominated. We're a creative race. We're not the way they are. You see what I'm saying? A globalized Aryan world would be a good world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, this our struggle, it comes full circle. I mean, this is age old. We have been struggling against them for so long, and let me tell you something, Jim. The way I view people now, any anthropoids, and I'm serious about this, okay? Whenever I see them, I say, well, they're just another entity, another biological entity allowed to survive, to be given a start on this planet, whenever it may have been, by their respected gods. The Eastern Mediterraneans, the Greeks, have their Olympians. The Nords, the Germanics, have the Nordic pantheon, and so on and so forth. They are of different gods. They are of different entities completely, culturally and everything. And who are the Jews? Who's their spiritual guide? That's Yahweh, the destructive, hypocritical, lying God. And that is not represented, doesn't represent us at all.
But he is.
Oh, no, I know he didn't.
Destructive for everyone except the Jews. the Jews are his chosen ones, his darlings, but anyone else, they're going to be destroyed. But see, there's the key. It's everything is about what is good for the Jews. That's how they've survived. What is good for the Jews? That's the first question the Jews ask. What we need to ask is it good for the Aryans? Is it good for the Aryans?
Oh, of course. Well, of course. That goes without saying. That's just survival right there, yeah.
Right. Survival. How have they been able to survive all these centuries of persecution and everything? Because they have that belief system. See?
Mm-hmm. You see, if we couple this needed and required mechanism and dwelling, that is our survival before everything else, coupled with our legacy, our heritage, again, Baroque heritage, who has that? White people. We couple that, all that, with survival. This will be a new era. This will be the era. This will be the new age, the light age. And we will have that. We will have that soon. And, you know, I do agree with you. It's just that I still find it offensive. I always will, when we compare our actions to theirs, because they got to prominence by using our countries. Okay? They used our countries. We're not going to go into their countries and say, this is our country now. No. It's always been our country. They have just worked themselves in and brainwashed the masses into believing that they're just like anybody else. They're not special or privileged at all, or hooked up to the hip with the rest of their tribe elsewhere in the world. No, they're just struggling like us too, and blah blah blah. Like,
there's a deceiver. They always have been.
Right.
They've been kicked out of every country they've ever been in. And then, like you say, I mean, we're at the tail end of the Cali. And like Evola says, you know, it's like we got to ride the tiger now for a while. I mean, this age is coming to a close, and a new age, a golden age is dawning. I'm convinced of that. But, I mean, we're going to go through a dark night of the soul to get there. And meanwhile, I mean, the thing we have to do is work on our consciousness, work on the truth, learning the truth, and trying to get the truth out to other people. See, we have the Internet now. That's the wonderful thing about this age now is we have the Internet. And that is our greatest weapon in this fight. You know,
yes.
It's not going to be bombs and bullets that's going to bring down the Jewish structure, the money power. It's going to be the truth.
Yes.
It's going to be the
truth. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the National Socialist Party members had limitless quotes about the truth just destroying them. Not destroying the NS people, but the enemies of the earth.
That's what they hated. That's why they hated Hitler and National Socialist Jewry. That's what they told all these lies about. Everything that they said about Hitler is a lie. Everything upside down, 180 degrees, then you have the truth about Hitler and National Socialist Germany.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to have to take a break here. We have some Czech music. Baroque music for you. Let me go find it now. I'll put you on hold.
But I just wanted to say I really like your program. It's really a great program, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, then. Thank you for the call. Call in anytime, Jim. You're very welcome here.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, there goes Jim, and here goes a serenata by a Czech composer named Vejvanovský. This is, again, the serenade. This is from the 18th century, I believe, and we will be back in 5 minutes or so. Stay tuned. This is Ragnarok Now on Renegade Broadcasting. Thank you.
let's talk about the neo-Nazis, those crazy,
oh,
wacky guys. They're back. They never go away.
Yes, welcome back. We never go away. Oh, we never go away, those evil... they talk about race all the time. It's so scary. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I have my own ideas for a future state, a small state, principality perhaps, where the only intention, the only reason for its existence is the Aryan races. A place in the Americas where white people can go, where the government is guided and exists for the sole purpose of building houses. That is, not just housing, but fostering environments for new and existing nuclear families to have a real white place to live. Urban environments, because we don't have that. We're talking about Leith. Leith isn't exactly an urban environment. Now, what was under attack these many decades? The white family, which got smaller and smaller and smaller, and now is all but irrelevant as insofar as the culture, the fake Jew culture that is corporate culture that's created. They're relevant to those people insofar as they keep consuming their TV shows and keep watching the blingy ball game and the and going to the universities and and working our corporate jobs, and that is not a reason to exist. Corporate Jew jobs. That's nothing. That is nothing. That's pathetic. So this is just my idea, the United Principality of Zeegland, or the United Kingdom of Zeegland, and it's not named after me. No, it's named after the white victory that we will have. So this country will be founded before or after the Grand victory. Sieg. Victory auf Deutsch. Or Vittorio in Italian. Many names for it, but we'll keep to the Germanic theme with this hypothetical new country, Siegland. And in the center, Sieggard, the capital, the holy city of this new way of looking at our world, the new way of looking at our race. People and entities and organizations that have their race in mind, that work towards helping their race alone, in my opinion, are holy. In the center, again, Sieggard, the National Palace, a grand, sprawling complex built in a neo-Gothic way, this gigantic, impressive to say the least, palace in the center of this city will be simultaneously four things. A worship center, a sort of grand temple devoted to our people, our ancestors. A music and arts hall where we will have almost round-the-clock old Aryan music playing and being performed all day by state musicians. Also, this National Palace will work as a parliament, as a Congress building, where the representatives of this nation, this constitutional monarchy, will have its representatives going here and meeting and running the nation in the name of their constituents, the citizens of Sieglan. And also, the fourth and final use of this giant National Palace will be the royal residence, where the royal court and the royal family will have its home. So, then the only home, ordained and allowed by the state. The royal family, the monarch of this country, this hypothetical country, will be a just, pure, and mighty, and accountable person. Now, why am I saying we should have a monarchy? As an artist, I can see the use of hyperbole and drama as a way of constructing history. What's more dramatic than taking a wicked criminal king or leader and executing them publicly? Well, that will be very possible in this country, in this capital city, where the monarch and his actions will be known to all the citizens. You see, the citizens of this Jewish world are spied on all the time. In this country, an Orwellian country, the roles will be reversed in this country, where the citizens will have their and their family's privacy protected by the state, but the king, the prince of this country, will have his privacy invaded at all times, if requested by the citizenry, to find out if he's wasting his time, wasting their money. We reverse the roles and we understand what needs to be done. We don't need decadent, lazy, worthless people running our countries as royal figures or as elected bureaucrats. They'll spy on you with their draconian internet laws or whatever. But we can't let you know what they're doing because they're so important and so great that we can't let you know what's going on. And here's the thing: we call the president's family in this country the first family. Well, that's an insult when you think about it. That's Obama's family's the first family, guys. Yep. Mm-hmm. So what if we had a pure white, talented, amazing family as the first family of this new white nation? That, I think, is the future of the white world. Not this democracy. You know, we got to rise above democracy. That's my opinion. And this plan I have is but a small stepping stone towards that. Now, another part of this country that I'm coming up with here is a class system in which there are four holy castes in which you may be put into by way of your individual skill: the worker, the landsman, the warrior, and the artist. Castes that you may be born into if you are someone like Bach, who was born into a musical family, someone like Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who himself was born into a musical family. If you were born into such a family, you probably will end up being a musician. The educational system we have today isn't geared towards finding out your skills, finding out how best to help the folk, help the people, help your people. No, it's devoted towards parroting and useless information and culturally Marxist values. That's what the educational system is today. Now, if we had our own educational system, or rather, our educational system was taken back for us and us alone, then it will be based around introducing the different skills and jobs that are required for civilization to exist in the first place. Not, oh, this is my major and I work for so-and-so corporation. That is nothing. That's nothing. It's irrelevant. It's not conducive. It's not needed when we think of a white world. We need to have a pure culture. The royal court will be staffed with artists and architects devoted to giving this land its own flavor, its own white culture. Again, these houses will be barred from influencing the parliament, because if that were the case, then this will be nothing more than Florence, Italy in the Renaissance. We don't want to see that happen. We don't want to see a bunch of noblemen squabbling over land and influence in this new country. The country will be a national socialist one, really, at its core, despite it being perhaps a constitutional monarchy, as I am putting it here. We have another caller. We got only 7 minutes left, so let's see what 795 has to say. 795, you there?
Hey, Siegfried, it's Joseph.
Excuse me?
From England. It's Joseph calling from England.
Oh, yes, Joseph. Welcome back to the program. Good to have you.
It won't be a long call this time.
Sure.
I'm just going to say something I was thinking during the week. That, in a sense, a lot of the non-whites who need to live among white people, even though they hate white people so much, resemble parasites in a sense. Although they could... The Jews are parasites, but the rest of the non-whites could live in their own nations, but they choose to live among us, so they are kind of being parasitical. I've also noticed that the anti-racist whites who love the Jews so much have come to resemble parasites in a way, because they're intent on holding the racist whites back in a democratic pen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just watching this week as... Golden Dawn, the democracy is trying to ban Golden Dawn for threatening democracy.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
it's the way the anti-racists, the core anti-racists, are so they know so much better than the ignorant racist losers. So much
You're
better
right.
They actually need us to remain in their democracy.
Yeah,
you think
right.
they'd be happy to let us go, but. Everywhere the racist whites go, like the Weaver family or Craig Cobb, they follow us around.
Mm-hmm.
They can't let us leave. So I think really they need us. We don't need them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the big secret. Joseph uncovered the big secret here.
Okay.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
It's like a big parasitical herd that needs. If any white nation develops, it would immediately leave them to rot in their multicultural cesspit, and it would be a direct threat, basically, to their survival. Obviously, if the white race wakes up entirely, then the Jews would die off indirectly from not being able to parasite off us like they've been doing for their entire existence. But even the anti-racist whites are like parasites, you know? They've come to resemble that.
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, it's a very, very big shame, and there's nothing we can really do about it in a lot of the cases because they're so fixed in their own worldview. And I say, well, good for you. Why don't you go create your own country, or go to Cuba, or go to Mexico, or Brazil, or some non-imperium land that will be there for you to go and live in your multicultural existence. I mean, that's what's going to happen. The rate at which it will happen in the Americas is very hard to predict. I have my own predictions of how that's going to happen and how long it'll take until the Imperium borders are a reality. The Imperium sees the whole of the United States, that is from Texas up to Maine, and then up through Canada to Alaska will be white. But that's not the case right now. So... there's all these sorts of ideas we have for black ethnostates and all this, and I say they should have them. I say there should be a multicultural state in the Americas at some point, but the 13 colonies at least should be white. Okay, that's goes without. I mean, Maine, West Virginia alone are very white, and the reason for them existing in the first place, the American Revolution, was a bunch of white people in ascots shooting at each other. So. That's we have our heritage here, we have our people to thank for them alone, and don't give me the shit about all the Native Americans were on the side of the American Revolution. Some of them were, and so many blacks fought for them too. And yeah, I don't care about that. It's irrelevant to me now when I think about all the squandering and all the entitled attitudes that they foster today, not just among the blacks in America, but among the Turks and Germany or the Pakistanis in London or what have you. You know, these people, the patriotic ones will understand that, no, I don't condone these people going on rape jihads or these people playing knockout games with innocent old white men and in some city in America. I don't condone that. I don't respect that. And I see those elements of my own race as parasites themselves. And a lot of them, I feel, would admit that if confronted about it. The smart ones.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about that?
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's so many members of our race who they could work with us to build a white future and to defend the white nation, but they choose to. They've got a vested interest in maintaining the multicultural status quo. Like the in a sense the lazy, they wouldn't be able to handle a national socialist or white society. The people who love the money because it wouldn't be focused on a capitalist oriented economy, and the or feminists wouldn't hate it because it was too masculine. And then there wouldn't be a focus on all those trashy television programs as well. So there's a lot of our race has come to identify with this sort of the spiritually Jewish mindset, obviously a Christian.
Yes.
Again. So they're resembling parasites themselves, and some of them would lose their status and their career if they came to work on the grounds with basic racist whites. So they really need to keep the status quo going, and they need us to remain in their pen. Because if we, obviously, a white nation would start to develop ahead of the rest of the world, naturally, and they would remain left behind to live with their mongrelized blood. So, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it's a shame. But
okay.
Until they come over themselves, yeah.
Yeah, Joseph, great call. We're ending the show here now. We got 30 seconds left live. I want to thank everyone for listening, everyone who called in. Joseph, great as always. You're welcome here at any time, sire. I'll have to sign off for today.
All right, sure, mate.
All right, thank you. You too. Thanks for the call again, and thanks for everybody again listening. This has been Ragnarok Now, the 19th episode on this September 20th, 2013. Thank you again, and stay tuned for the roundtable tomorrow. Ave Europa.
Ah,